Welcome to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And my name is Sebastian, and I've recently been accused of witchcraft.
You were accused of witchcraft and the devil, selling your soul to the devil.
Because I know how to fold a fitted sheet into a perfect square.
I do not believe that folding a fitted sheet into a perfect square can be done without the work of the devil.
I mean, you watched me do it.
Because you are possessed. You are possessed by the devil, and the witchcraft allowed you to fold a fitted sheet.
Yeah.
It's my position. I'm sticking to it.
I can also tie a bow tie and get it right the first time.
And we were wondering about whether or not to talk about, actually, Gay Cities, which is one of the kind of LGBT news sources that we follow, did a pretty decent article on a recent report by the United Nations Human Rights Commissioner titled Born Free and Equal, Sexual Orientation, Gender Identity, and Sex Characteristics in International Human Rights Law, second edition. Now, the second edition is relevant. I'll get to that in just a few minutes. But Gay Cities essentially outlined all of the areas where the UN is like, countries need to stop doing all of these things at once.
Yeah.
But didn't link to the damn report.
Right.
And it took me more time than was necessary to find the bleeding thing.
It's like science journalism where they say a recent study proves that...
But what study? Where? Yeah. Did you just ask your gran? Like, how is this
Who
a thing?
Who did it? And if you take the hour and a half to actually track down the original study...
It said, like, the opposite. Actually, what was the quote?
It's always behind a paywall, but even just from reading the abstract. And the abstract is always free. So reading the abstract, it says, like, not carrots cure AIDS, but, like, men who have HIV and eat a lot of carrots have better muscle mass in their calves. And then... That somehow got translated into carrots curing.
Why didn't you tell us...
Or something like that.
There was the whole of gay media, and even non-gay media, went a bit crazy over Lando Calrissian.
A lot of people were saying Lando Calrissian...
which is the character.
Yeah, well, sorry, Billy Dee Williams.
Who played Lando Calrissian in the sort of first batch of Star Wars movies.
Yes, starting in Return of the Jedi. Not Return of the Jedi. Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Which wasn't meant to be, by the way. A lot of people don't realize this. The original release of Star Wars was just called Star Wars. They renamed it Episode 4 A New Hope in later editions.
Oh.
It was supposed to be the only one in the series, but it was so popular they got convinced to make more.
And so, that's really gone well.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah.
I think The Mandalorian on Disney Plus was last week the most watched TV show in the world.
I haven't watched a single minute of it, and...
Yeah. My mother has Disney Plus, and we're going home for the holidays. So whilst the family are going to the Toronto Christmas market, me and Jake are buying some popcorn, a bottle of wine, and marathoning The Mandalorian.
It just... I don't understand. I mean,
All of the Baby Yoda memes are coming from.
Well, I know that, but it's just... I don't... Part of me doesn't understand the appeal because you have the three prequels and now you have the two and soon to be three newest movies, and you think people would learn.
And there's the Han Solo run.
Yeah, that Star Wars has become rather cringe.
Mm.
But the one counterpoint that like a few people have made is yes, but the animated series are really good.
Yes.
So. Yeah.
I mean,
the extended universe is fascinating. Like, there's all sorts of really cool stuff. Like, one of my favorites is there's a bounty hunter called Dengar, who has the nickname The Payback. And he is known for being, at best, a middling, mediocre bounty hunter, unless you slighted him personally.
No.
At which point, he could even bring in, like, a warrior emperor if it really meant something to him. That it's just... and he actually did have... personal beef with Han Solo, which is one of the reasons why everybody was surprised that Boba Fett caught him in the end. Mm. That's all, like, underscript. Doesn't matter. Anyway, Billy Dee Williams, the media reported that he came out at age 82 as being gender fluid, and then a week later,
Just clarify, gender fluid means identifying not particularly as a man, not particularly as a woman, or male or female, but
kind
sort
of as both.
You know, whatever the day sways you, feeling, mood, environment, people, all these kind of things.
And then he read this about himself, and he said, what? No! What? What? the actual contents of the interview, and he clarified himself, was basically that he rejected the style of masculinity that was popular in the 70s and 80s when he was younger, and that he felt that it was unrealistic for men to be macho men at all times, and that good, decent men on occasion are capable of getting in touch with what are traditionally considered feminine things, and that the tradition around what is masculine and feminine might be broken. So basically what he was saying was, I am a dude who's comfortable not conforming to the expectations of men that exist in the 70s and 80s. He said nothing about gender or sexuality, and he was basically like, y'all need to calm down. Not everyone is just, you know, a closet queer waiting to come out. And I understand that. Like, every so often I read the media, things like Queerity or the Queer Voices on HuffPo, and they make all these announcements. And I've gotten a little media shy about that, because now whenever I read, like, such and such has come out, I'm always like, but have they, or have you just misinterpreted something
I mean, said? You know, just to back to the, you know, the guy's statement of not really buying into, you know, shunning one's femininity, and now suddenly he's gender fluid. Like, let's dial it back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this has happened again this week. This is not to negate the fact that there are actually gender fluid
people
out there.
There are people out there like that, yeah.
But
absolutely.
There are also a lot of people not jumping to conclusions, leaping with enthusiasm to inclusions. Are you aware of the 1975? It's a band.
Okay,
and Matt Healy, it's a British band, kissed a man in Dubai, and then there was all of these questions as to whether or not it was a fan on stage in Dubai. It was sort of making a point about the UAE and their position on homosexuality. And everyone's like, oh, it's Matt Healy, bye, is the lead singer of the 1975, bye, and, you know, is he gay? Oh, my gosh. And there was this whole debate. And then in the end, he's like, I identify as aesthetic or aesthetic. Or it was a word.
Aesthete.
Yes, the one. Yes. And I was like, I've never heard this word in my life.
An aesthete is someone who's into beauty. That's basically it.
Yeah. And then he defined it and he's like, you know, I find some men objectively beautiful and women objectively beautiful. And I'm like, you have literally made many news headlines by announcing that you find beautiful things
beautiful
brought to you by the news.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on. You know, the Lando Calrissian not pushing off femininity in a, you know, just a man willing to not be super toxic masculine.
Yeah.
And a guy who's like, yeah, I like pretty things.
Or like, yeah, I'm a man and I know how to sew a button back on my own shirt. Like, and then all of a sudden everyone's like, oh my God, he's bisexual. Like, calm down.
Everyone's trans identified and it's a whole new sexuality. No, it's called liking people who look nice.
And the opposite, in the 2000s when Matt Stone and Trey Parker were sort of at peak fame, not that they're not still famous, but they were peak fame in the mid 2000s. Whenever they were at any events together and the cameras were pointing at them, and they wanted to be left alone, they would just start making out with each other, like open mouth kissing, because like nobody wanted to see Matt Stone and Trey Parker make out with each other. Two straight dudes making out with each other in order to annoy the media, and it worked. And they also did it in a basketball. I don't know if you ever saw that movie. It was deliberately terrible, and they succeeded. I have it at home, and I rather enjoy watching it every so often. It's hot garbage, but I love it. But yeah, no, open mouth kissing, just to get people to leave them alone.
It reminds me of, in the UK, the paparazzi are ridiculous.
Yeah.
So people will just give them the middle finger. Yeah. Or they would hold, what they've also taken to doing, like, celebrities, is they'll walk around with brand logos. Uh-huh. Like, just pictures of brand logos, because then, like, nobody wants to put pictures of, like, somebody else's brand logo without being paid for it.
Have you seen anti-paparazzi clothing?
Oh, which is like glittery or has backlighting or something?
No, it's a scarf that's highly reflective, and every time a flash goes off, it just covers their head in a white halo on film because it's overly reflective. There's another one where you can fool.
There's a hoodie. And there's lights that come from behind the hoodie.
Oh,
so you can't see inside the hoodie.
Your backlit, yeah.
Yeah, which is fantastic.
All sorts of tricks, yeah.
But my favorite one is holding up corporate logos so that none of the magazines will run ads with like just or run pictures with somebody else's logo. Anyway, this is all to say that Gay Cities wrote this article about the UN. Just bringing it all back.
Right.
If you remember Fourscore and a year ago when we started this conversation, the Gay Cities ran this article about the UN report. Now, the UN Human Rights Commission in 2012 released the first of this particular report,
okay,
which essentially says governments should not hang gay people, at the very basis, level, no hanging of the gay people. And then, you know, since 2012, things like the right of intersex folks, those that are born with genitalia or biological makeup that differs from the expected norm. And typically, doctors would just, like, make decisions.
Yeah.
They don't do it so much now in North America and Western Europe, mm-hmm. mainly because they got sued an awful lot for making the wrong decision.
They had an above-average chance of picking wrong. Whereas, actually, if you do genetic testing and based on the chromosomal sex, this is between quotation marks, correct the ambiguous genitals. If you correct it, quote unquote, correct it towards their chromosomal sex, the chances of getting it wrong are the same rates as people who are trans. So it's actually, a lot of them are starting to say like, well, we can do chromosomal stuff. And other people are saying, so long as you do any kind of like plastic surgery before puberty, everything will be fine. So
wait until they're old enough to sufficiently say, I'm a real boy, or whatever.
At around 8 or 9, it'll be pretty clear,
Instead of, you know, getting the scissors and chopping stuff off.
There's a wait-and-see approach now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the lawsuits had something to do with that.
And it also tends to work out. And, you know, you don't want to be the one who picks wrong.
So the UN have said that there's a bunch of things that they need to do.
Mm.
They need to protect LGBTI people from violence.
Mm-hmm.
That's things like hate crime laws, not inciting people to violence against LGBT people, and recognizing that they can be persecuted for being gay. Also, here, the UN felt it should tell the 193 countries not to torture gay people.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually item number 2.
Okay.
Don't torture gay people. And in fact, state-sanctioned or enforced conversion therapy is considered torture by the UN.
Oh, okay.
And this is actually an area where the US, the UK, and Canada does not have a national ban on conversion therapy. So in this report is like, Canada, we consider conversion therapy, first of all, completely useless and a waste of everyone's time.
Didn't Australia finally ban it?
I think there's only a couple that did.
Australia is weird. They're either the first or the last to do something progressive. Like, there are certain things where you find out, like electoral reform. You know, they kind of did that 15 years ago, and the rest of the world is now just sort of starting to stroke our chin thinking, maybe we should look at electoral reform. And then there's other stuff like gay marriage, where it was like, what, last year where they finally legalized it?
Mm-hmm.
I know. Australia's a weird duck. So, I like them, but they are a weird duck.
So under don't torture people, they've also said that, you know, just the ensure places of deprivation of liberty. That's prison.
Okay.
Ensure prisons
are
monitored. And this actually was an interesting story out of the UK, or it relates to an interesting story. 1 in 10 trans people were in the wrong place.
Okay.
So that is trans women, so biologically male, but maybe identified as women. They could be they could have been living as a woman for 20 years, but there's only a 1 in 10 chance that they'll actually end up in a woman's prison.
Hmm.
Otherwise, they are the only woman, I'm using air quotes, woman in a man's prison.
Right.
And I'm air quoting here because of the safety element implied, not questioning their womanness. But, you know, it's ridiculous. And in the UK, it's like, whoa, only 1 in 10 of them we've got right, which is actually, it's 11 out of about 1,000 or whatever it works out to, 1,100. And in fact, there was one conservative candidate in the UK who's running for election right now. They're all running for election because there was an impromptu election. And he's decided that all trans inmates should just be in segregation. They should just be locked up in their own tiny little cells instead of having to deal with getting it right. Which is ridiculous.
I mean, there have been proposals of making federal prisons that are specially for people who are trans-identified, well, trans or queer, because the a lot of the rumors about prison rape for male inmates isn't fully accurate. Straight men are not going around sexually assaulting one another just for fun, unless they're actually queer. Most of the victims of same-sex sexual assault in prisons are LGBT to some degree. So the idea of sort of separating them off, giving them a separate facility, and it's kind of weird because it's kind of segregatory. It kind of highlights the fact that you're queer in an unfair way. But I don't know. It's the protecting the individual versus doing what's right versus, you know, I don't think there's an easy answer. There's no such thing as an easy answer to a problem.
There are some best practices. So there's also repealing laws that criminalize LGBT people.
Okay.
There's prohibit and address discrimination on the basis of orientation.
Oh, you're talking about the UN again.
The UN ones, yeah. You know, and it's like, actually, there was in Zambia, they arrested 2 people just for being gay. And in Malaysia, 2 gay tourists were arrested in a sting operation where they tried to hook up with what turned out to be an undercover officer. So pro tip, if you're a tourist in a country where it's illegal to be gay, no threesomes. That's my official recommendation. And then safeguarding the freedom of expression and peaceful assembly. And what really annoyed me about the Gay Cities report was, you know, they're like, this report says that the law, the international law says that all countries should ban conversion therapy. All countries should unwind this.
I'm kind of down the middle on this because on the one hand, this stinks of Western neocolonialism. But on the other hand, stop hurting your own people. I think that's an easy message. Saying like, we hereby declare that you must have, you know, a cable access queer TV and you must have, you know, politically enshrined same-sex marriage and things like that's kind of thing is like, you know, they need to come to that conclusion on their own. But stop torturing your own people. I think the UN could step in on that and not be neocolonialist.
The UN is like, in terms of same-sex adoption, they're just like, same-sex couples are as capable of raising children as opposite sex. And but they're not saying you must have marriage, but there must be a way of same-sex couples having the same state legal benefits.
If you don't have the cultural infrastructure to support them, you'll be harming the children and the parents and everyone. Not to say that nobody should be allowed to.
But on the ground simply of the fact that they're a same-sex couple is not... Anyway, so... But this report, unlike the media attention to it, brought the receipts.
Okay.
All right? And it's like Universal of Declaration of Human Rights, Article 3. Everyone has the right to life, liberty, and security of the person.
Right.
And all 193 UN states have not only agreed to this, but like signed it into law.
Yeah.
The International Covenant on the Civil and Political Rights, the Convention on the Rights of the Child, the Convention Against Torture, the Convention Relating to Status Refugees, and the Declaration of the Elimination of Violence Against Women. The reason why I mention these is because Canada has signed on and brought into law these conventions, these international treaties, and as have many of these other countries. And what this report points out, that the vast majority, over 100 of the UN members, have also independently promised to do better.
Yeah.
So trying to convince Canada to ban conversion therapy when it has signed on to international conventions, promised to do better, isn't really much of a leap.
I mean, the easy explanation is that some of these places do not consider LGBT people to be persons. Distinguishing, of course, between the governance and the people. There are a lot of, like, I've seen all sorts of fascinating interviews with, like, places in Southeast Asia and Africa where they do have death penalties for homosexuality. The average person off the street is like, I don't care. It's just the people in power, which is an age-old story of the people in power and the people on the street having completely different moral bases. But, I think in their mind, the workaround is they're not violating the UN Declaration because they're not people.
Or they're just ignoring it.
Or they're just ignoring
it. And I think that has something to do with it as well. Let's jump to a song.
Yeah, I was about to say.
You chose all the musics.
I wanted something profoundly un-Christmas. Because you're getting enough of that on every radio station and every mall, every time you drive. Yeah, not this one. We're gonna free you from that. And today's theme is spoken word.
Okay.
And we're going to start off with what I think every teenager needs to hear at some point in the time in their life. I think you need to hear this before you graduate high school. If you're in university right now and you've never heard this, I think you need to double back and listen to this, because the more you listen to this, the more true it becomes in your heart.
Okay.
It is a spoken word piece. It was a female journalist whose name I cannot remember who wrote it originally, and everybody attributed it to Kurt Vonnegut. And Kurt Vonnegut's like, I didn't write that. Anyway, it's called Everybody's Free. It's also known as Wear Sunscreen. And this is the Baz Luhrmann version.
Okay, and we'll be back just after this.
Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 99, wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they've faded. But trust me, in 20 years, you'll look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked. You are not as fat as you imagine. Don't worry about the future, or worry, but know that worrying as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubblegum. The real troubles in your life are apt to be things that never crossed your worried mind, the kind that blindsides you at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday. Do one thing every day that scares you. Sing. Don't be reckless with other people's hearts. Don't put up with people who are reckless with yours. Floss. Don't waste your time on jealousy. Sometimes you're ahead, sometimes you're behind. The race is long, and in the end, it's only with yourself. Remember compliments you receive. Forget the insults. If you succeed in doing this, tell me how. Keep your old love letters. Throw away your old bank statements. Stretch. Don't feel guilty if you don't know what you want to do with your life. The most interesting people I know didn't know at 22 what they wanted to do with their lives. Some of the most interesting 40-year-olds I know still don't. Get plenty of calcium. Be kind to your knees. You'll miss them when they're gone. Maybe you'll marry. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll have children. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll divorce at 40. Maybe you'll dance the funky chicken on your 75th wedding anniversary. Whatever you do, don't congratulate yourself too much, or berate yourself either. Your choices are half chance. So are everybody else's. Enjoy your body. Use it every way you can. Don't be afraid of it or what other people think of it. It's the greatest instrument you'll ever own. Dance. Even if you have nowhere to do it but in your own living room. Read the directions, even if you don't follow them. Do not read beauty magazines. They will only make you feel ugly. get to know your parents. You never know when they'll be gone for good. Be nice to your siblings. They're your best link to your past and the people most likely to stick with you in the future. Understand that friends come and go, but with a precious few, you should hold on. Work hard to bridge the gaps in geography and lifestyle, because the older you get, the more you need the people you knew when you were young. Live in New York City once, but leave before it makes you hard. Live in Northern California once, but leave before it makes you soft. Travel. Accept certain inalienable truths. Prices will rise. Politicians will philander. You too will get old. And when you do, you'll fantasize that when you were young, prices were reasonable, politicians were noble, and children respected their elders. Respect your elders. Don't expect anyone else to support you. Maybe you have a trust fund. Maybe you'll have a wealthy spouse. But you never know when either one might run out. Don't mess too much with your hair, or by the time you're 40, it will look 85. Be careful whose advice you buy, but be patient with those who supply it. Advice is a form of nostalgia. Dispensing it is a way of fishing the past from the disposal, wiping it off, painting over the ugly parts, and recycling it for more than it's worth. But trust me, on the sunscreen.
Hello and welcome back to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is still Luke Smith.
And I am Sebastian.
And is TikTok homophobic? I know.
I mean,
I went there.
As a corporate entity? Or
maybe. It's Chinese. It's owned by the Chinese.
Well, government. I mean,
oh, it's a company that is owned in China.
And every corporation in China is owned at least fractionally by the government.
I mean, the Americans get freaked out by the fact that, you know, the party, the Communist Party, has a seat on boards of every Chinese company. But in the States, the Patriot Act gives the intelligence services access to anything they like. So it's like...
But people really... are also not very fond of that either.
No, exactly. I mean, it's just for me, it's like the, oh no, the Chinese position on foreign companies. I'm like, come on now, the Americans. I mean
that's, let's be honest. That, by the way, that's called an etu quoque argument. An etu quoque is Latin for, and what about you? And the reason why it's a fallacy is if you were to say to me, you should lose weight, and I were to say to you, who are you to speak? You're fat. That doesn't mean, because the response to
it's
that is,
true.
We both need to lose weight.
Oh my God,
just the fact that you accused me doesn't mean that me accusing you isn't also true. Like the etu quoque with America and China are constantly,
oh my God, it's
constantly
ridiculous.
Like, how dare you tell me what to do with human rights when you're doing blah blah blah. Each of them have done that to each other for the past 10 years. They're both right. That's the answer.
And in many places, they're both wrong.
So. Yeah, well, yeah.
So is TikTok homophobic?
Okay, well, I mean, I'm less informed on TikTok than I am on the issues at YouTube. So tell me what you know about TikTok, and then I'll tell you what I know about YouTube.
My understanding was TikTok was trying to prevent bullying.
Mm-hmm.
And as a way of stopping bullying, they've red flagged or blocked a lot of LGBT content. And people like Small Nail, Big Sledgehammer, and all the gay stuff got squished.
Now, are they...
It's like Tumblr. Tumblr tried to ban porn and then has effectively just wiped out LGBT content.
Now, is TikTok making it not searchable? Like, are they taking the information down, or are they just making it harder to find?
I'm not sure, but I think let's pivot a little bit to YouTube, because they are related.
Well, they are, but I mean, it's an issue where it's... If what they're doing is they're making it not searchable so that you can't bully it, but it's still there, so that if you go on other social media and you advertise yourself through Twitter or something, they can find you. If they go directly to your account, they can still access your content. Then that is a good idea executed poorly.
Well, we do know that in some countries, such as China, you can't search for certain terms, you can't search for certain people.
Yeah.
They're just like unlisted or delisted.
Yes. Well, it's known as the Great Firewall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So is YouTube homophobic?
YouTube is putting in policies that are accidentally homophobic. So what they are doing is they're trying to make material on YouTube more child-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And what they've done is they've created multiple tiers of content. So you've got like family-friendly, not family-friendly, and there's like family-friendly, not family-friendly, and then like adult content, not adult, like...
Like explicit.
Explicit, not yeah. capital A adult with like boobies and whatnot, although there are things like that on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
All of Trauma's movies from before 1994, I think, are on there in complete form with no ads. So if you've ever wanted to see Surf Nazis Must Die, it's there. Which I really like that movie.
All right, back to the
point. As a result, but the advertisers tend to put more money into the family-friendly material than they do into
It reaches a wider audience.
It reaches a wider audience. So what's happening is the little money that YouTube creators make for their efforts is being slashed again and again through an iteration of these policies. And you can just list yourself as being, you know, not child-friendly, and you would prefer advertisers who are not child-friendly, because there are people out there, like one of my favorite channels is just some guy in his garage who pulls apart power tools, but he's French-Canadian, he's hilarious. Makes me laugh. Arduino versus Evil makes me laugh. Anyway, he would rather have like beer commercials on his channel, and he's fine with that. And he deliberately swears in every episode so that he's not child friendly because he wants to get filtered out so that people who are adults, who are the kind of people to watch beer commercials, are more likely to find him. Now, as a result, he also doesn't make any money off of advertising. And he says in his defense, he's got a real grown-up job and he actually works as an engineer. So that doesn't affect him. But like, he has that liberty. Not everyone has that liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this big complaint that they're basically punishing content creators, and they're making it so that you have to have another job outside of YouTube.
But the way it's homophobic...
is accidental. Well, so they're making all queer content adult.
Yeah, so discussing coming out, discussing transitioning,
mm-hmm.
these are all considered adult themes.
You could even just be an openly lesbian woman who does video game reviews. Mm-hmm. And the moment you bring in your identity as a lesbian woman, it is now considered to be queer content.
Yeah.
Even if it's completely and totally family friendly, like I was talking with my girlfriend the other day, and we decided that we would rather have a small yapper type dog than another cat. That right there, you have just made your content queer, even though you're not talking about queerness, you're not talking about your identity, you're just sort of bringing it up. There's a lot of issues with how this is being run. What I don't understand, this is something that like...
Well, I don't think YouTube... Let's clarify here. YouTube does not have a specific policy where if you make LGBT content, you are not child-friendly.
Yeah.
But the dragnet of what gets excluded from things that are child-friendly is any references to sexuality and so on and so forth. So bringing up your girlfriend in terms of a dog wouldn't be caught in that. But discussing coming out, discussing... dating life, even if it's just in an inoffensive way.
Feminist analyses of movies. Well, sort of like the sort of, you know, feminist frequency kind of a channel. It's not around anymore, but people know what it is. So that's why I mentioned feminist frequency with Anita Sarkeesian. But that kind of analysis, because you're taking it from a feminist lens and because you're mentioning the fact that it's a feminist lens, it falls under the heading of... sort of identity theory and whatnot. It would be not, it wouldn't necessarily be like adult, but it would not fall under the child-friendly heading anymore.
So I think the fact of the matter is that these creators who are LGBT identified, who more often than not would bring an element of that into the work they do, are disproportionately being affected by these dragnets.
And the way that it's mostly being affected is, like, if you go directly to their channel,
mm-hmm.
you can find them, not a problem. But they don't show up in anybody's recommended list, so their ability to expand their base is very hobbled. The amount of advertising dollars that they get is very reduced. So basically, mostly what it's doing is it's just encouraging them to go to other platforms.
Mm. Sort of silencing LGBT content.
Sort of silencing them. Some of them are doing quite well. Some of them not a problem because they do have a well-structured secondary social media network. They're very active on Twitter. Yeah. They're very active on Instagram.
They had a big presence before the changes.
Exactly.
Well, we are going to jump to a couple more spoken word. There's a little one and a bigger one. And then after that, we're going to discuss serial killers. Because, you know...
Well, I mean, there is more to say about YouTube. And I'll come back with a few other things.
Okay.
But actually, going back to Christmas music, I'd like to mention that Whamageddon. Remember I mentioned that earlier?
Oh, yes, yeah.
There's a group in the UK. It's just a bunch of journalists, but they have started something that they call Whamageddon, where they all put money into a hat, and the last person to survive Christmas without hearing Wham's...
Last Christmas
wins the pot. And... that just made me laugh so hard, because Last Christmas is one of the Christmas songs that will, like, if I walk into a store and they play Last Christmas, I will not go back into that store or spend my money there until January.
It's really unfortunate. You've run out of grocery stores at this point.
I have not heard it in a grocery store. I'm pretty lucky. Anyway, so yeah, we're going to go to a Canadian, Meryl Cadell, and her famous spoken word, the sweater, which has... one of my favorite lines in any spoken word ever, which is, you are not looking for the man of your dreams, you're looking for the man of the dreams of all of your friends.
Mm.
And it will make sense briefly.
And we'll be back just after this.
I know you will understand this and feel the intrinsic, incredible emotion. You have just pulled over your head the worn, warm sweater belonging to a boy. Now, you haven't had a passionate kissing session or anything, but you got to go on a camping trip with him and 8 other people from school. And you practically slept together, your sleeping bag right next to his. And you woke in the night to watch him as he slept, but you couldn't see anything because it was dark, so you just lay there and listened to his breathing and wondered if your heart might burst. The sweater has that slightly goat-like smell which all teenage boys possess, and that smell will lovingly transfer to all your other clothes. If you get to keep it for a few days, you can sleep with it, but don't let your mom see, because she'll say, what is that filthy thing, and who does it belong besides the trash man? So you have to keep it under the covers with you. You can kind of lie it beside you, or wrap it around your waist, or touch it on your legs, or whatever, but that's your business. Now, if the sweater has, like, reindeer on it, or is a funny color like yellow, I'm sorry, you can't get away with a sweater like that. Look for brown or gray or blue. Anything other than that, and you know you're dealing with someone who's different. And different is not what you're looking for. You're looking for those teenage alpine ski chiseled features and that sort of blank look which passes for deep thought, or at least the notion that someone's home. You're looking for the boy of your dreams who is the same boy in the dreams of all of your friends. Now, the sweater isn't going to fit you, of course. You have to kind of roll up the sleeves in a jaunty way that says, this is the sweater belonging to a boy, and the boy is a genuine hunk, a hunk of burning love, and this is not just some hand-me-down from your brother or your father. Monday, wear the sweater to school. Be calm, look cute. Don't tell the dream you had about the place the two of you would share when you get older. Just be yourself. The best, cutest, quietest version of yourself. Definitely wear lip gloss. He looks at you, and he looks away, and then he walks away, and the smell of the sweater hits you again, suddenly like ape scent gloriola, and you get a note passed to you by a girl in history that says he needs his sweater back. He forgot that you put it on in the tent on Saturday, and he's been looking for it. And you don't have to die of humiliation, you know. You are a strong person, and this is a learning experience. You can still hold your head up high as you run from the classroom, tearing the stinking sweater from your body. You look at that sweater, carefully, and you realize that love made you temporarily blind. You got a secret now, honey, and though you would never sink as low as him, you could blab it all over the school if you wanted. The label in that sweater said 100% acrylic.
Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. I am still Luke Smith.
And I am Sebastian, and I have a business proposal for YouTube on how to fix their problem.
So if the Google is listening.
Yeah, and how to promote their queer content, not a problem. Basically, just do what advertisers are already doing, as well as like the Nielsen ratings and everything that every single marketing firm, advertiser, the people who determine how to market movies, how to market video games, they have population segments that they break up. So you've got like, you know, infant to 12, 12 to 18, 18 to 25, 25 to 45. You've got all these things, men, women, white, non-white, all these different categories, all of these different categories. Just adopt that. Because if you look at it, like there are beer commercials that want to be on the internet. And there are people who would rather have beer commercials than children's commercials attached to their content. All they need to do is agree to some industry standard. And then it would be like, okay, so we want to sell our video game to the following segments. And then anybody who has that open, you just attach it to that. Now,
it's funny you say this, but the biggest advertising company in the world by quite a mile is Google.
Okay, yeah.
Google Ads brings in billions of dollars. It is actually how Google makes most
of its
money.
How much of Google does actually advertise their own product? And how much of it is them acting as a proxy on behalf of other companies?
Well, no. The way Google Ads works is that it places it into Google search engines.
Yeah, I know.
Into Google emails, into Gmails, but into YouTube.
It's a proxy. You sell your material to Google, and then Google places it.
In everything it owns, which is quite a lot of things.
Which is a lot of things. But
anyway, my point is, Google should already know all this.
Yeah.
Because it's Google.
But they're not implementing any of it.
Yeah, their implementation in YouTube is questionable.
It's really not great, yeah.
I want to keep on the trend of questionable business decisions.
Okay.
And I'm going to talk about Netflix.
Okay.
So Netflix, in the next week or two, our listeners here may see it come out, is releasing a three-part documentary series that says, "Don't F," which is the bleepy swear word, "with cats."
Mm-hmm.
And it's about the sadistic killer, Luca Magnotta,
right.
Who brutally murdered a Chinese international student in Montreal in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of rose to infamy at first through what was attributed to him in terms of killing kittens.
Yes.
And apparently on the internet, killing kittens is a big no-no.
Yeah, so the more famous example of this would be if you look at 4chan. That 4chan has a reputation of being sort of the dark horse of the internet, where they mostly do bad, occasionally they do good. Sometimes when they do good, they do really good, like combing through satellite imagery to identify ISIS training facilities, which they've actually done. They have done that. But the number one thing is that if you are ever caught on camera herding cats, and sometimes they also delve into people who hurt other pets as well, dogs, snakes, lizards, whatever. Mm-hmm. You do not hurt animals and small children. 4chan will find you. They will find where you
live. They're very good at finding.
They will find where you work, and they'll do it in under a day, and they will make your life hell until you publicly apologize. So that's the whole, like, don't F with cats. I mean, that's what that's a reference to. Well, 4chan is the leader of that, but in general, the internet does not tolerate that.
My question here is, so, Luca Magnotta was in Montreal, and he was originally from, I think, born in Scarborough, and he murdered Lin Jun from the Wuhan province in China.
Right.
And this guy was just minding his own business. He'd got a text message. Luca Magnotta is gay. Presumably, they'd met in some forum, like some way.
Right.
And then it was the day that he was reported missing. Luca Magnotta released a video, One Boy, One Ice Pick, I think it was, or Two Boys, One Ice Pick.
Okay.
Sort of a play on the One Girl, Two Cups, or no, Two Girls, One Cup.
Yeah.
Which was the videoed brutal murder of Lin Jun, which is horrific and has been effectively eradicated from the internet. But in 2012... many people saw it. My partner saw it. I saw the start of it. And when I realized that, no, like, this is really it, you know, I turned it off. But it was, you know, in 2012, things weren't that difficult to find.
Mm. They're still not. I'm willing to bet it's still out there.
Not that we don't.
Don't go looking for it.
No, it's horrific.
But nothing truly disappears from the internet,
but
unfortunately.
But my point, you know, this guy dismembered the Lin Jun's body, sent a foot to the Liberal Party that got intercepted, at the Postal Service. He sent another body part to the Conservative Party. He sent body parts to elementary schools and high schools in Vancouver. This man was just atrocious. He apparently started 70 different rumors about himself.
Okay.
On various websites. He had two different fake personas on a white supremacist forum.
It's known as sock puppeting, by the way.
It was Stormtrooper or something, or Storm something is the name of the website.
Okay.
But it was, this guy is just bizarre.
Yeah.
And during 2012, we were covering it on our show then, way back.
I don't remember this.
It was, it was,
I mean, I'm glad you remember this, because this feels like news to me. Yeah.
But it was dramatic, because he fled from Montreal to Paris, and then he went from Paris to Berlin, and there was an international manhunt after him.
Mm.
And then he was arrested in Berlin in an internet cafe, Googling himself. And it's just, but my whole point is, you know, I remember it quite clearly, the Luca Magnotta murder of Lin Jun. Out of Montreal, and the way that, you know, the Conservative headquarters is here in Ottawa.
Yeah.
You know, it struck pretty close to home, and it unsettled the whole country, because the note that went to the Conservative Party was like, there's more body parts, I'll kill again. And it's like, oh my God. I mean, Luca Magnotta was investigated as the possible killer of the gay men in Toronto.
Right, yeah.
He was eventually ruled out. But the point is, you know, there's not only is the Lin Jun family incredibly affected by this,
yeah,
but all Canadians were affected by this gruesome murder. And now Netflix has made a documentary about it.
Yeah.
Too soon?
I definitely don't think it's too soon to make the documentary, because the sooner you make it, the memory is very fallible. You forget things over time. You misremember things. You create new memories over time. And if you want to make an accurate record of this, then the sooner the better. The release date, I think, if it's too soon to air it, I think that is a lot more reasonable to question that. 5 years ago, I mean, I don't know. When were the first times the
Well, it was 2012 when the murder happened.
So it'd be 7 years ago, yeah. I don't know. I think this is something we do need to educate ourselves on, that a lot of people treat the internet as a place that isn't real. Mm. That, you know, when you talk with people online, if you're mean to people online, this is sort of the backbone of cyberbullying, that people don't treat other people on the other end as being real. And the number of times where you and I have read stories about people who were sort of abused through people they met through the internet, or people using the internet as a tool to find people. For Lin Jun's sake, mostly for the survivors of Lin Jun, I think you're right, it might be too soon, but for the sort of well-being of society and getting people to understand it's important to take care of yourself. It's important to be skeptical when you're meeting people online, you know, meet people in a public space, read them first, make sure that you feel safe around them, that kind of thing. If they spin it right as, you know, that serial killers is not just something that happened in the 70s and 80s. Mm. This can still happen. Well, it wasn't serial. It was just the one. But still, it threatened to...
Your note here reminds me of a separate story that came out last week. We didn't really touch on it.
Mm.
But there was a gay serial killer arrested in Australia a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And he'd gone from... I think he was in Kent and then in Eastern Europe and then in Australia. He may have been arrested in East Europe. I forget which one. But my point is that he murdered this man and burned the house down. And it was only recently, they thought it was just an accidental house fire.
Right.
But it was only recently that the internal CCTV, like, had one camera on his house.
Right.
And the family discovered this video of him being murdered, you know, by what turned out to be a serial killer. But, you know, that was a serial killer that was in the UK. There was also another one based out of London a few years ago.
Yeah.
There was Bruce MacArthur here in Toronto.
I think there's one based out of New York a few years ago, about 10 years ago.
You know, it is, you're right, the internet desensitizes us, and that's extremely concerning.
Yeah.
And I think this documentary, from what we can tell, focuses on the role that the sort of internet sleuths played in finding him.
Okay.
Speaking to that sort of 4chan
yeah.
Experience.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're real people. the other end of this.
Well, I think this kind of thing, it depends very heavily on what your angle is, how much dignity do you give to it. If it's sort of like a cheap, like, you know, clickbaity, whatever the documentary version of clickbait would be, if it's like that and it's kind of cheap and hokey and da-da-da, like, I don't know about that. That does feel
verdicts out, essentially. Yeah. We'll take a look at it and let you folks know, and let us know what you think of it when it comes out December 18th. Don't F with Cats. We've run out of time.
Have we now?
We have indeed.
Oh, dear.
We're playing out with one more spoken word.
Yeah.
And who is it and what do they say?
It's The Streets.
The Streets.
They're a UK group.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, they delve back and forth between spoken word and rap. But anyway, this is The Weak Become Heroes, which is a very heartbreaking song for me. Mm. It's about the rave scene of the late 90s, early 2000s, and how as great as it was, it could never last forever. Kind of like disco, but, you know, 20 years later.
Mm.
So that's that.
And we'll be back next week. I've been Nick Smith.
And I've been Sebastian. And thanks for listening.
Turn left up the street. Nothing but grey concrete and dead beats. Grab something to eat. Mackie D's or KFC. Only one choice in the city. Dumb voice in my pity. Now let's get to the nitty gritty. Tune reminds me of my first E. Plight unique, still 16 and feeling horny. Point to the sky, feel free. See a people all equal, smiles in front and behind me. Swim in the deep blue sea, cornfields sway lazily. All smiles, all easy. Where you from, what's your honour, what's your story? Mesmerising tones, rising pianos, this is my zone, so stop cloning. Pick paper, scissors or stone. Cause me and you are the same. Known you all my life, I don't know your name. Her name's European Bob, sorted. Anyway, have a dance now, see you later. Pleased to meet you, likewise, a pleasure. We were just smile, we all sing. We become heroes in the stars aligned. We all sing, we all sing, sing. The night slowly fades and goes slow motion. All the commotion becomes floating emotions. Same piano loops over. Arms wave, eyes roll back and jaws fall open. Seeing soft focus. Chatting to this bloke in the toilets. Dizzy new heights, blinded by the lights. These people are for life. It's all back to his place at the end of the night. Yo, they could settle wars with this, if only they will. Imagine the world's leaders on pills, and imagine the morning after. Wars causing disaster. Don't talk to me, I don't know ya. For this ain't tomorrow, and for now I still love ya. Hours fly over. Sail round, diamonds and pearls. Never seen so many fit girls. Discover new worlds. Look at my watch, can't focus. Last 2 hours I lost. Every move fills me with lust. All of life's problems I just shake off. Hell, mad little events happen. Things map out and a few blue maddens are like the toilets. Big beefy bounces out to reveal us. Geezers on E's and first timers. Kids on Whiz, darlings on Charlie. All come together for this party. All races, many faces. From places you never heard of. Where you're from, what's your name and what you want. Sing to the words, fex to the fat ones. The tribal drums. Sun's rising. We all smile. We all sing. We were just standing in our narrow home. We went on and on. We all smile. We all sing. We become heroes in the stars aligned. We all sing. We all sing. Sing. We were just standing in our narrow home. We went on and on. We all smile. We all sing. We become heroes in the stars aligned. We all sing. We all sing. Sing. Then the girl in the cafe taps me on the shoulder. I realise 5 years went by and I'm older. Memories smoulder, winter's colder. But that same piano loops over and over and over. The road shines and the rain washes away. Same Chinese takeaway, selling shit in a tray. It's dark all round, I walk down. Same sights, same sounds, new beats though. Solid concrete under my feet. No surprises, no treats. The world stands still as my mind sloshes round. The washing up bowl in my crown. My life's been up and down since I walked from that crowd. We were just standing in our narrow home. We went on and on. We all smile, we all sing. We become heroes in the stars aligned. We all sing, sing. We were just standing in our narrow home. you'll sing.